street epistemology is a wonderful approach that anyone can learn. You can learn more about street epistemology at streetepistemology.com.
I guess we could just chit-chat then.
Okay.
We're not shy about talking to each other, are we?
Of course not.
No. We had a great board meeting yesterday. It ended before the two-hour mark, which is a little rare.
Rare.
These days. Hello, Rom.
Hey, Rom. How's it going?
Oh, it's all right. Nothing happened, basically.
Did you hear anything?
No.
No? Okay. All quiet.
Almost
okay.
Everything was neutralized even outside the borders of Israel. There were some minor damages in the south, I think. I think one person died, and
wow,
not much.
I hope that's the end of
system.
It. Yeah, it looked pretty dire just from some of the footage that I saw. Well, we have a few people in the room here, but we're not getting any questions yet. You can unmute your microphone, you can turn on your camera, or you can just send us a message to chat. Oh, by the way, if you use chat, change the default to from the AI note taker to the group chat, because sometimes it defaults to the read AI meeting notes taker by default. I was looking at the calendar. We have a meeting tonight with the team of volunteers who will be going through and helping us keep that community curated video playlist active. Two of the folks who are helping with that are in the room right now. I think Sushi won't be able to make tonight's meeting, if I understand right, but Pierce should probably be there for that. So that'll be nice to see that get moving again.
Now Jan's connected to audio.
You have a thing with Jan later today, don't you? Like in 3 hours or so?
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Okay, well, don't be shy, folks. Surely there's something on your mind with regards to SEI or SE. I'll be doing a monthly update based on our last meeting. I need to start drafting that.
I'm finally back in Naples. I'll be here for at least a few weeks. And I want to get some review shows going back again. Should we do the next module in the course or some other video?
I'd love to do module 3. We talked about combining module 3 and module 4, maybe?
We did 3 and 4, I think.
We did
that. Next is 5.
Okay. That's, what is that? Preparing to do SE. Module 5. Yeah. That was one of the hardest modules to write. I think we ended up writing it and rewriting it at least 2 times. That was a mess. But yeah, we should cover that one. That would be a good one to cover. And then, yeah, maybe we can do some review videos of some of the latest SE content out there.
Yeah, I'd love for the call-in shows, the individual conversations to be clipped out, because I don't know what is good or not to for those whole streams. At least chapters would be good, I think. Are you doing that, Pierce? Adding chapters back in? We can probably have Veronica go back and add in chapters.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good idea. I haven't been doing that. I did clip out, I think, 2 clips from shows and just did independent videos.
Are those then standalone videos that you can add to the playlist, or do you just add can you add like that link to the section to the playlist? How does that work?
If you click, what playlist are you referring to?
Like the latest releases playlist. So we could link to the whole full live stream, but it'd be cool if we could just link to right to the clipped out thing.
Yeah, that's fine. That's possible and everything. Yeah, it's just a regular YouTube video, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's basically what I did. I downloaded the live stream and then edited it. I'm thinking about pulling a clip that involves snow, so that will be kind of exciting.
You know, StreamYard has these new edit features and repurposing features where you can clip out things from the stream and even make shorts and stuff. I haven't really played around with it.
Yeah, I haven't played around with it either. I saw that. I've been meaning to give it a shot.
I think Google's Gemini is starting to do chapters automatically. So you can have it. It's not foolproof yet at this point, but it'll go through and break out your video into chapters by type of content.
Oh, really? That's that really cool.
That's an internal YouTube feature, or do you have to like post the link in the board or something?
I just heard about it in a video. I can't tell you how it works.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I'd love to join one of those review shows, and maybe we can do a review of one of the clips from the live streams. Is there one that comes to mind, Pierce? You were saying something snow?
There might have been one, yeah, on Friday that might be suitable for that.
Cool. Was that the vegan show? Or?
Yeah, that was the vegan one.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that went.
I think it went pretty well. I was a little hesitant to do a show regarding, like, a specific topic with a, like, specific Discord, you know? Because it might be perceived as us being, like, against that belief, you know? But overall, it went really well.
Robert is at a train station. For all of you
can you hear that? Can you hear that announcement?
Couldn't hear it, but just the background is like,
yeah, there's
this, I just imagine people are going, what is, where is Robert?
People are kind of whatever.
That's like a really people nice, are
waiting for the next station. Train. That's
Robert, you're like, where's Waldo? We never know where we're gonna find you.
Well, no, Reed's the Waldo. Oh, no.
No, we know where he's right. Going. We never know where you're going.
He's in a different city almost every time we jump on a live stream or on a video chat with him.
Yeah,
I know it.
Next stop is New York, early May.
New York.
Yes, I really have to commend you, though, Robert. That shows commitment. You rarely miss a meeting, no matter where you are, whatever time it is.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's very odd times, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Leanne made a post here. I don't have any questions. Although, Anthony,
you've had to get up really early sometimes from some of those meetings, really early for you.
Not really. I mean, like which meetings? Like course development meetings?
Yeah, no, like the for programming stuff.
Oh yeah, for the programming stuff. Yeah, usually that's early our morning. Contractors, he's ready to go at like 7 o'clock in the morning, which is a little.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a little early for me.
Which means you haven't even slept yet.
I'd usually go to bed around midnight or 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to go to bed earlier these days, though. But you know, I don't mind those meetings because they're productive, and usually it's a result of, you know, we're getting stuff done with regards to the website of the course. So I don't mind those meetings. I have a question here from Leanne. I don't have any questions, and I'm just listening in, but David V will be coming to visit me, and we will be doing SE the last weekend of April. I'm excited.
Oh, cool.
Very cool.
So Dave's on the move again.
Yeah.
Where will that be?
Probably in Texas, I'm guessing. David and Sasha, I think, are in the Austin area at the moment.
I know I'm back home in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
you're back home in Pennsylvania already?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. It'll be in the north, North Texas area, like a little north of Dallas.
I think he's doing Austin, then or Houston, then Austin.
He was just in Austin yesterday.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe Houston next, and then up north, Dallas, Fort Worth, Plano. Cool. Yeah, David's been driving around. David at Venegas, he's doing an SE tour. He's been driving all over the country. Sushi, can I share that picture?
Sure. Yeah. There's tons of pictures. As I'm actually working on transferring all the pictures and stuff from the past week and a half.
Yeah.
Who has all that footage, or do multiple people have it? When can we expect to see some videos?
Maybe the end of the week. And Anthony has some footage. He might be back at it again.
Oh, cool.
You're optimistic. But yeah, it was so cool. So this is David and Sushi over here, and they're getting ready to leave my house. They spent several days here in Texas with meeting up with me and my family and some other SEers, including Kevin. And we saw the eclipse, which was really great. And then we ended up doing street epistemology. We went to the local university. We walked out there with myself, Kevin, FK and Cosmo were there from Germany. And then we had Sushi and David. And we went to the campus and ended up having some really good talks with some of the, primarily the Chi Alpha folks. I don't know if you remember from some of my videos. Yeah, there was some tabling going on up there, and we kind of just sat in the shade behind the tabling. And then some of the leadership from that group came up to us and started talking. Before you know it, we had probably four individual SE conversations simultaneously happening.
You got a picture of that, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can dig that up.
The most
know what they were getting into.
They did. In fact, they were aware of SE, and they recognized me, like, oh yeah, we've seen your videos, and one of them said, you know, I'm not really crazy about SE, and we started exploring what was wrong with it, and you know, trying to make the case for it. And before you knew it, we were all kind of doing SE.
Yeah, Anthony asked him if he wanted to do SE, and they said no, they're against it. And then Anthony did SE on that claim.
it's my default mode. It's all I do.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't. You want me to argue with you? I mean,
naturally,
I don't want to argue with you. I'm looking for that photo. I don't know where it's at.
And did they realize that they were being SE'd, arguing about SE?
I don't know.
I don't know. We didn't really discuss it. We just sort of.
It would have been funny if they said finally, I'm so glad you didn't do SE on me, but we had a great conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your questions were on point. So good. And now SE.
Yeah, there you go.
So here's a few photos of that day. We've got FK here. Can you see my little mouse?
Yep.
Yeah.
Chi Alpha person, I think. This guy was a. This guy, I think, was from the Secular Student Alliance, and he would constantly engage with the Chi Alpha religious folks, and I think kind of arguing with them. I'm not sure. So we, you know, hopefully he learned a little bit about SE that day. This individual, I think, was with Chi Alpha, probably a leadership guy. He came up to me. This was the one that was really unhappy about SE and had problems with it. You know, but here's... Sasha with our camera, and that's Cosmo. Photo.
Oh, that dude. So that turned into an interesting conversation, because I started the SE conversation with him, and he was pretty closed about things. So I just kind of like sped through it, and then nearing the end, and Kevin stopped in. And they went probably for a good 45 minutes, And I guess Kevin, they connected them with them on a personal level. And then after that hour, like, they resulted in a hug after the conversation, which to me was just so beautiful. And then David said, as the guy was walking past him, the guy just like sighed, like in relief. So it's amazing what, you know, this conversation method that we use can make an impact on people.
What were his reasons for not appreciating Essie?
Well, that person was on the belief in God. And that what their reasoning was, I think it was just personal experience. Yeah, his brother had committed suicide, and that's what pushed him towards mm-hmm. religion. And then he started searching, and then he came along, you know, Christianity.
Mm-hmm. I was also referring to the one Anthony mentioned was pushing back on the actual method. Yeah.
So he had mentioned that he had watched some of my videos with the leadership. Remember that guy, Kyle, with the red beard from Kyalta, and how he loved watching where some of the earlier videos where we were up in the break room or something. And Kyle was basically making the case about why the Bible was true. And he was talking about how edifying it was to watch that discussion. And then he sort of said, but you know, I don't really like SE. You know, I don't like it. And then we started exploring it, why. And then he kind of shifted it to like, well, when you know something is true, there's no sense in questioning it. It was kind of along those lines. And then before you knew it, he started surfacing reasons why he believed that it was true. It was Jake. And we're kind of off to the races. It was interesting too, because at one point he mentioned how, I was sitting on this wood bench and I was kind of like, my back is kind of hurting. He's like, he kind of, his ears pricked up like, your back's hurting, you know. How long has it been hurting? And I was like, oh, he's going to offer to pray for my back because I've been doing this long enough where that's usually what happens. And I think I said something like, are you going to pray for my back or something? Do you want to? He's like, yeah, can I do it? And I was like, no, I'm good. But, you know, how do you know that it actually does anything? And before you knew it, we were exploring his methodology. And that was one of the funnest parts of that talk, because we started exploring. Oh, it was interesting. So he was like, why do you do SE? And I was like, well, because I think it's helpful. It helps people become less taken advantage of. And ultimately, I think it'll lead to greater human flourishing and less suffering. And then we started, when that kind of shifted to the back talk, and that I didn't want him to pray for it for me. And we started exploring whether or not he really thought praying for people's backs worked. And we said, like, hey, you know, like, we proposed this thought experiment, like, could you document or give people a QR code to let you know if their back improved, and have them submit it anonymously? And let's say 20 out of 100 people reported that that it actually worked. Would you continue praying for people's backs? And he said, sure. And then we jacked it down to two out of 100. And he said, well, sure. And well, we're like, why? He's like, it's not as important that I'm praying for them to get better. It's just, it's about bringing them to Christ, something along those lines. So there was a disparity between why I'm doing SE and why he's doing the praying thing. It wasn't so much about helping people, but promoting this message. And I thought that was kind of an interesting moment.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I had that similar type of conversation with the main guy I was talking to there too. Talking about doing good works, and I talked about the works that I do with myself and my company, and like the things, the actual tangible things we're doing versus standing at a table trying to bring people to God. And I really recommended that he get out and actually do good works, and that might be a better way to connect with people and to do instead of talk about doing. It's kind of where we ended up in part of our conversation as well. So
Then we went to the trail. This is me with David and Sasha. So we went to my old stomping grounds.
Oh, that famous place.
Yep. Yeah.
And we had some there good talks is. There. As, very good there talks there as well. Yeah.
You know, the after Anthony had left, the one SE session, which is recorded, the guy during the conversation said it was his best part of the day. So it was like, that was pretty amazing.
A talk that you had with somebody, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's the one that I said there was like two distinct conversations. The first part of it was an SE conversation. And then after I had asked him, like we were done, and I asked him if he had any questions for me. And then he had asked me some things, and then it turned into more about emotions and needs, and how he's like lonely and the things that he could do about it. And we kind of explored it, and he walked away with some tool sets to improve his life and meet his personal needs. So that was really cool.
Yeah. When you get feedback like that, it's very motivating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a talk with an older Asian couple, married, and we hit it off right away because they happened to notice that I had a University of Oregon shirt on, and the guy had gone there before. So like rapport was super strong at the beginning, and before you know it, the claim that they wanted to surface was, well, you know, look, everything is here, and it could have only been created by a higher power. So as much as I want to use SE for other non-religious claims in my area, that's kind of what we get. And it was really great. It was a very casual, free-flowing conversation, not so much even an interview, which is kind of the direction that I really want to try to go. In fact, I think I introduced it like, do you have time for a short interview / conversation? Because I want to try to, you know, I don't want to be so rigid and directed with questions. And it was really cool because it was really great because at the start, I was throwing up potential topics to talk about. And I said, you know, we could talk about like, you know, supernatural things like karma, or maybe you rearrange your furniture to ward off evil spirits or something like that. And they said, oh, like feng shui. I'm like, yeah. And they said, oh, that's, you know, I forget the word that they said, like, you know, basically it's garbage. it's superstition. They said, well, that's superstition. I'm like, okay, cool. And then they eventually brought up the God claim. And I like that because now we had a baseline of something that they didn't believe. And then I ended up referring back to the feng shui superstition. You know, like at what point does, you know, what would you say if somebody called your belief a superstition? How is what you're describing any different? And it was great. And probably the highlight of the talk was when the guy was saying, with his wife right next to him, like one of the main reasons why he thinks that there's a higher power is because he might be disloyal to her if he didn't believe in the God. But he revealed it in a way that was kind of funny, and we were all chuckling a little bit about it. So it was very lighthearted. But afterwards, I was thinking, kind of kicking myself that I didn't recognize the value of loyalty or fidelity, and maybe explore why he needs to have this particular belief in order to maintain loyalty or fidelity to his wife. But all in all, it was still a really good, nice, lighthearted talk. And then afterwards, they wanted to know where we stood on the same claim. And when they found out that two of us were former Catholics, they got really excited about that. So I think they started shifting into like conversion mode at that point. But there were some moments of reflection there beforehand, so it was really cool.
Well, yeah, what did they say, that we still had the mark on us or something?
Oh, they asked if we had been baptized, because I guess that was important. And then when you said, Sasha, I think it was you, you said, well, I'm an atheist, I don't believe it anymore. Mm-hmm. And the first thing the woman said was, what happened to you?
Yeah.
Ditto.
I was born again.
Again. Yeah.
But don't let me ramble on. You have any questions for us? We got the board here. You can type in your question. You can unmute your microphone, or you can join us on camera. Either way.
SEI projects you want to have started, or advice for what we should do, advice for how we should fix things we are doing or change things.
What is the most important thing in your view that SEI is currently working on?
Great question. There's two things that come to my mind. I have to narrow down to one. Does it have to be one?
No.
The research study and the grant funding initiative. Starting to go out and getting some massive funding behind what we're doing. Followed closely by the course and then the website update. But I think if I had to pick one, I'd probably say the research one, because that's how we're going to try to analyze this objectively to see what's unique about SE, and is it a noticeable difference from the typical challenging of the claim itself? What do y'all think? What would you put?
Yeah, what's same things. All the things you said are very important. Maybe also the facilitator-led training programs that we also started working on could be added to the list. With regards to research, yeah, I think it's super important that we start doing scientific studies on SE. But the concern that I have is just that it's very hard in principle to study it. So, for example, this particular research, like, I don't know if the results, whatever they will be, can be interpreted as something conclusive. I would say even far from it. It's a good start, I think, but we need more. We need more minds on it, more designs of experiments, more studies. So, but the whole project is very important.
For the study, what is the goal of the study? Like, what are you trying to figure out?
The goal of the study, as I see it, is to compare an SE conversation to a typical type of engagement where you argue or you focus on the what and the claim, as opposed to getting down to the how did you determine you have good reasons for thinking that the claim is true. And that gap, that comparison, that's what we're trying to isolate. That's the biggest difference. Because when you I think at the heart of it, that's the big difference of SE. It's where you're asking questions that assess, that helps a person critically reflect on the quality of their reasoning. And that's the piece that we're trying to isolate and tease out with just four questions. Four questions about the claim and the control, and four questions about the how or the methodology in the active study part of it. And then there's other questions that the researcher wants to ask pre, mid, and post, like confidence level shifts and other questions that are out there. But I think I agree with you, Rum. Like a much more rigorous study could probably be done than what we've constructed. That might yield more tangible results, but this gets the ball rolling on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it really does hinge on the the quality of that experimental design. Even if the experiment produces dramatically clear results, the first criticism will be on weaknesses of the experimental design. So that's why the rigor of that and multiple studies will help to converge on the effectiveness of SE. So this will produce like one data point, and you need multiple data points to demonstrate things more conclusively.
Mm-hmm. What is the metric of success for this study?
It it would be showing a marked difference between the control that focuses on questions about the what compared to the active, which would be the questions that focus on the how.
Okay.
So it'd be doing an analysis on the pre, mid, and post questions. Questions that we didn't come up with, by the way. We threw a few in there, but these are questions that the researcher themselves came up with. And as I understand it, they've used these same questions for other similar belief. What do we call this? Belief revision, belief change, belief reflection types of studies that she's done.
Yeah, I think her focus is metacognition, right?
Metacognition, yeah. Yeah, or topic versus technique rebuttal might be another way of putting it.
Where is SEI at as far as spreading the method outside of, you know, people on the street talking about beliefs?
Well, we have a lot of irons in the fire on that. Robert, did you want to?
You start.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's the whole coaching and training aspect of it, so that we can offer anyone that wants to get trained in SE as it aligns to the Navigating Beliefs course, there will eventually be a training offering for that. And we're just getting into the process of finding some coaches, people who are familiar with SE, who want to teach SE and SE adjacent stuff, all of which, both the coaching and the training, can occur on the same Kajabi LMS platform, the learning management system that we have for the self-directed course. It allows people to go ahead and schedule and pay for and take those trainings. Even if you were to do a coaching or a training to a live audience in your town, you can still coordinate the sign up and the payment through the same system. So that's one aspect of it, including businesses. I could see businesses sending their employees and doing the training through this platform. And then we had a really interesting development just recently over the last couple of days or last couple of weeks, where we've had some people who are familiar with the legal system get involved with, they actually volunteered to test one of the modules, module 7 of the course. And they had individually at different sessions talked about how they thought SE could be really useful for the lawyers and the legal system. So like think for jury selection, for example, how it might be useful to ask some SE questions to see how the jurors value truth, or do they see evidence? Would they say the number of Tic Tacs can both be even and odd in the container? Who would you want on your jury? So this led to a really good side discussion where we're going to pursue developing an offshoot product of the Navigating Beliefs course specifically for that industry. And we've got a method in place for getting our toes wet in that area. But we've always envisioned doing offshoot products of the Navigating Beliefs course specific to different industries like educators, journalists, politicians, medical professionals, science communicators, things like that. So this one just kind of fell in our lap and we're just taking it and running with it. And we'll see how that goes. And then if the model that we use to build that offshoot for the legal system works, then we'll do something similar for those other ones. Hi, Leanne.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, good, good. Did you have a question or just on
video? No, just popping on. I was, we're actually moving soon. So we had a late night box set boxes. So I'm just finally enjoying my backyard and a cup of coffee.
Nice.
But yeah, I'll be going out there with David. I'm excited about that. I still need to scout out an area, make sure there's nothing big going on at the campus.
Okay. First time doing SE in public?
Yeah, I've like recorded.
Cool.
Yeah.
We got a good teacher with David.
Yeah, I'm excited. Any tips of what to keep top of mind when going into something like that for the first time?
chapter five or module five of the course would be awesome. It's preparing to do SE. And we're going to be doing a review show on that, it sounds like, in the next couple of days. But any tips as far as like location selection, you mean, or like preparing yourself for it?
Just like, I know that there have been a lot of like printouts and stuff that people have used. And I know like people have like clipboards and stuff like that. I don't know. Is there anything you ever feel like is a good thing to have on mind to like get you back on track or something? If this conversation kind of gets derailed.
I think what I usually do when the conversation starts to get derailed is just like taking pause, and you could say something along the lines of like, oh, well, okay, well, that's an interesting, but that's like another path from where we were originally going. If it's okay, I'd like to get back to the original claim. Something along those lines. But I think like when I did it IRL for the first time, the biggest thing was like locking down a claim. You know, because like doing it online, a lot of times people have a particular topic already thought out. And having a pen and paper, or David uses a whiteboard, which I'm sure he'll let you use. And that's kind of helpful to help track the conversation and take like quick notes down.
Yeah. I think I could do all those things.
Have you met David before?
Nope. Well, like on like video and stuff like that, but not in person. So yeah, actually, he was having like a review show, and Reed was nice enough to donate a GoPro. And so I won the GoPro, and he'll be driving it down. He, instead of shipping it to me, he's just going to drive it down to me. So when he comes and sees me, so yeah.
Nice.
Sweet. Nice. One of the 360 ones, or?
I'm not sure what it was. He didn't tell me. He said it was one where the battery door is missing because you used to plug it in. So he, I don't know, whatever that one is.
Yeah, probably. Well, not sure what it is.
I could be a Hero 4, maybe. Because I think the doors on those things come off.
I wasn't sure. I was like, I might need to ask him because I might need to put the door back on, but I don't know if you, it's good to have like an extra battery linked up to it or whatever.
No, to your original question, one thing that I found helpful is if you're not sure what to ask next, or you feel stuck, is just ask if you can summarize what you've talked about so far. Like, you know, do you mind if I encapsulate what we just talked about, and correct me if I'm off here, and then just sort of walk through everything that you covered so far. And then that might jog a question in your mind, or it may cause them to correct something that was off. But that might generate a question.
Okay.
I'm not sure where to go. Yeah.
Cool. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Sounds so fun.
The quick suggestion I'd make is recognizing that it's important to be able to recover from the rapport loss, but it's also important to recognize early signs and that things are starting to go off the rails or could be potentially going off the rails. And so what cues would you look for in your conversation partner to give you an early sense that maybe things are not going the way they should, at which point you need to reestablish the rapport that you think you have.
Awesome.
Hey, it looks like Jake has their hand up. So, Jake.
Hello. Hey, are you hearing me all right?
Yes.
Yeah, you sound great.
Where's Jake?
Hi, everybody. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for hosting this. I wanted to follow up on the last set of questions that was asked about targeting specific industries. It's a really big interest of mine in supporting these various sectors in critical thinking tools. And I see the value of it. I see what street epistemology could do if it were adopted in certain sectors. And I wanted to second that that last point of how important I think that is, and ask what Street Epistemology International is really doing it sounds like they're going to take the course and kind of change that up, translate it into different industries. It's a big interest of mine, and I see a lot of potential for growth and the type of accomplishing the type of mission that Street Epistemology International has through that strategy of targeting industries. So I wanted to hear a little bit more about what SEI had in mind for that, and also how much of a how personally I could see it being a very large chunk of what SEI does is supporting various industries in different sectors through more individualized workshops and trainings and such. So I'm curious how SEI is thinking about all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way that we're thinking about it, and we plan for, a year or so, maybe even longer. Once, even back to when we decided to launch the self-directed course, we always had in mind that would be a foundational resource that would be free, and that we would create offshoot products that we might pay for, including self-directed training and coaching. And we even have some educators who are on standby ready to help us build the offshoot for educators. So it wouldn't just be a matter of taking the course and just changing out all the examples to make it more specific for teachers or something. That was kind of our original thought. But after talking with these attorneys who saw the value in using it in the legal system, the approach that we've used so far is the attorneys gave us feedback based off of their 40 years each of experience in both cases of being in the field of areas that they thought SE could be useful. And they listed all sorts of things like pre-trial lawyer deliberations and negotiations, jury selection, jury deliberation, things like this. And they came up with a great list. And then what we did is we dumped it into an AI and we said, okay, here's the outline for the course. Here's this new information. Come up with an outline of what you think a good course would be. And it came up with this really great outline, but it doesn't mean that we're just following that. That actually became the agenda of one of the meetings that we had where we went through it and we thought that would be good. That would be probably not a good fit. Because there's apparently some areas in the legal system where it's not about getting to the truth, shocker, but it's about defending your client. So we're identifying areas in that particular industry, and this would apply to any industry, by the way, but so you can just overlay this template probably to everything else. So now it's a matter of going through and seeing within this industry, which sections would be most receptive to an SE type of approach. That's part of it. And where we're at now is that in the case of the legal system, lawyers there's a continuing learning education demand in that industry where they're required to go and keep up with credits and to keep accredited and certified. And there's a real desire to bring in speakers to those events. So what we're thinking of doing, in fact, what we're going to be doing is developing a 50-minute talk at one of those continuing learning education seminars where we'll present SE, and that presentation will be developed between me and those two attorneys, so it should be pretty good and pretty relative to that audience. So we're hoping to get their interest, but maybe even more importantly, get feedback from them as to what they liked and didn't like and what they thought was realistic and not realistic, and the output of that would be the course for that industry. And if that template works, and then we would develop the course and then make it available and probably sell it, which would be a really great income source for SEI. And it provides a training vehicle for people like Sasha, like Sushi, or other content creators who are out there who might be looking to, or wanting to get into the training aspect of things. And that's the process that we're looking at right now. And if that works, then we'll probably mimic that. We'll probably try to do something similar. Let's talk to a whole bunch of teachers or go to a conference, make the pitch of SE, get the feedback, develop the course. Because if we develop a course that fills their need, then, and we introduce SE tools to them, the sky's the limit. And that will help broaden SE out into them, into these different industries. It will help legitimize SE. It becomes an income source for SEI. And now we're no longer dependent on video examples driving people to the community. So that's how we're envisioning that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that explanation. And it sounds like this is, as far as strategy is concerned, like a pretty major part of the strategy as far as like income revenue and what could be done. I'm really grateful for your sharing your insights on that. Lastly, I had a list of a couple of industries that I wanted SEI to take note of just to make sure it was on their radar for relevance.
Drop it in the chat, but you want to read it?
We'll do.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, we'll do. I'll do both.
I was going to ask you that very question, Jake. It sounded like you had something in mind.
I'm so glad. Well, you had already mentioned health, or you had mentioned education, and lawyers, and that's so interesting. And just considering the unique needs of each sector, and how those needs would be different as far as critical thinking is concerned, it's just interesting, and just how much you could refine it to really help out a specific sector at a time. So aside from education and lawyers, also healthcare. You know, how doctors and healthcare professionals, how they're talking to their clients and probably among each other, how they're establishing truth and addressing misconceptions. Media and journalism. Personally, I feel very powerfully about that. I would love to see I'd love to see people in the White House press room be grilling the press secretary using SE questions, and how the press secretary is so confident in what they're saying. And I'd love to see that, because I think that a lot of nonsense can get through the cracks and kind of not be addressed in ways that I'd like to see. So I'd love to see that in media and journalism. Politics and public policy as well. Those are my biggest that I'd like to see focus on.
That's a great list. And regarding what you said about the press room, that is a ripe area. And I would love to see a press room that builds off of the previous question that was asked, where the journalists maybe are actually working in tandem to try to get down to the foundation of it. Because oftentimes you're only allowed one question in that situation, or two if you're lucky. Imagine if the journalists were working in tandem to get down to the truth of it, if the speaker would allow that to happen. But that would be where the education of journalists, I think, could end up, where they would see the value of it and start working together.
That would be a very powerful press room.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Drop that in the chat, though.
Give you a chance. Yeah. Those are really great ideas. I think that one of the themes that runs through those and is important in a monetized business model for teaching SE in various industry sectors is having SE when there's a power dynamic between two people having a conversation, from press secretary to a journalist, a doctor-patient relationship, lawyer-client relationship, customer service provider relationship. When there is this dynamic between the two, it is a kind of a different conversation than one would have with family or friends or coworkers or whatever. So I think taking that into account, SE itself would need to be adapted to take that whole thing into account. The other element in terms of the business context is performance metrics. If we're teaching SE for some fees or whatever, they want, the customers want to see results. They want to see measurable results. So those kinds of key performance indicators will be important in anything that's done in any, whatever industry is being taught SE.
All right. Well, we're coming up on an hour and we don't have a huge group here, so maybe we'll wrap it up in about 5 minutes. I'm thinking.
Does that mean we're doing everything perfectly well, Anthony?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Actually, I've got one more.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was looking through the Street Epistemology website, and I was looking at the mission of Street Epistemology International. Just to read it for everybody, SEI aims to achieve, or rather, that's a break in there. Street Epistemology International is committed to addressing dysfunction in public and private discourse by encouraging rationality through civil conversation and providing people around the world with resources needed to develop, practice, and promote street epistemology. Continuing, SEI aims to achieve this mission by providing resources, training, and support to individuals and organizations interested in learning and using street epistemology. And it continues, but I wanted to ask with everybody here, what specific strategies are being implemented by SEI to forward its mission in as it states? I understand the course, of course, and we've talked about those different industry sectors and such, and it seems like kind of a public awareness as well has also been a big part of that strategy. I was curious if that's kind of the comprehensive list, or if there's really kind of more under the scenes, or that I haven't thought of.
Tempted to show you the mural board that we have where we've strategized. Ooh. And we've listed it. I wonder if we could, is that, not sure if that's public yet or can be. We've had weeks and weeks and weeks of strategy discussions and business planning to identify all the offshoot initiatives that will help us achieve those goals, far beyond just saying the course or training or offshoot products for different industries. Things that come to mind are the content creator gatherings that we have for people who are generating content and supporting them in that. Like being able to see a good SE conversation does a lot to sell it to other people. So we're there to support them. We offer resources for content creators. So if you need a camera or a microphone, or you just need a little extra nudge to get out there, you can come to one of those sessions. There are also community gatherings that are great for that. If you want to have an in-person or an online club, we have gatherings for that. We have all sorts of other ideas, including a game, embedding an AI bot of sorts where you can practice or have it critique your SE conversation. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of things that we have in mind. The problem is we're a small board and we're highly reliant on volunteers to execute these things. So while we've identified dozens and dozens and dozens of things, we have to prioritize them. Now I'm hoping that when we initiate this grant proposal and writing process and get some good funding, we can hire people that can help us execute these things faster. So at the moment, we've got this grand vision and we know exactly what we need to do to get there. And now it's just a matter of getting the people to do it, whether it's volunteers or hiring people to do it. And that's a real broad picture. Maybe at some point we can make public that mural board that we've put together. I don't think there's anything particularly sensitive in there, but I think we need to discuss that as the board as a board and see if we should release that publicly. do you folks want to add anything to that?
I mean, I think you hit it. It's, you know, money makes the world go around, and that funding is going to be a huge part of what we're able to execute. And time is finite, and yeah, the struggle's real to get it done. So,
yeah. And to date, we've been largely dependent on volunteers, and that's great. We get some funding from that. And we've had a couple donors give some, you know, some nice donations, but it will be the monetization and of the training, like we talked about, the coaching and the training and the offshoot products, like the legal system stuff, that will be a source of income. But probably even more immediately would be the grant, the grant funding process, which we're right on the threshold of kicking off. Yeah. So once that money comes in, then we can start hiring people. And then getting this stuff done quicker.
Yeah. Yeah. Money helps things definitely move a bit faster. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm looking forward to actually utilizing some of those resources that you outlined. And as far as volunteers go, I am more interested in volunteering when I know what those efforts can go toward. So the publicity of, you know, if you can get the project outlined and you just know what resources, what volunteer resources you need, that would probably be helpful for people to be more encouraged to plug in, and also for donors to want to donate more. If, you know, if they know what's going on, just a bit of my perspective on that. So I'm very thankful for you sharing, those resources. And of course, you know, your efforts in developing that. So thank you and everybody on the board.
The Street Epistemology Podcast is a production of Street Epistemology International. The views, guests, and topics expressed here, or not expressed here, do not necessarily represent those of the organization.